Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The co-host of NPR's All Things Considered, Ari Shapiro, is bringing his one-man cabaret show to the Baby Grand in Wilmington. Thank you for listening. Adapts narratives from Shapiro's best-selling memoir, The Best Strangers in the World, into a litany of stories and songs about the power of listening to bridge divides. And in this edition of Arts Playlist, Delaware Public Media's Martin Matheny is joined by Shapiro for more on Thank You for Listening.
Well, let me start by asking, what can we expect to see and hear in this show?
Well, it's a cabaret, which means there are stories and songs, and some of them might be things that will be recognizable to NPR listeners, because I do talk about my day job at NPR, hosting All Things Considered, and some of the adventures that I've had in that role. But I go a little bit deeper into my own personal life and experience. I hope it's really a funny show and hopefully moving and touching. And I've just started doing it in the spring and summer of this year. And so it's been really satisfying to see audiences react to it. But it kind of weaves together a lot of different threads because, as you may be aware, my day job is as a journalist hosting All Things Considered, but I do a lot of other things too. I sing with the band Pink Martini, and I hosted a Netflix reality competition called The Mole. And so this cabaret show kind of weaves all of those together into one, hopefully, amusing narrative.
What inspired you to put this show together and also use the cabaret format? What helped you settle on that?
I love cabaret as a format. Long before I ever started doing it myself, I was an admirer and fan of people who perform shows that feel vulnerable and personal and unexpected and take audiences on a journey. And then a few years ago, the actor Alan Cumming and I created a cabaret show together that we have been touring around. That show is called Och and Oy, and it's basically the two of us cracking jokes and telling stories and singing duets. He's always had a solo cabaret show on the side for many, many years, and he's had several of them over the years. And I started getting the itch to try to do something similar. And what came out of it is this show, Thank You for Listening, that, you know, it's scary, it's challenging, it's vulnerable, it's personal. And so when an audience responds to it, it feels that much more rewarding. I had a friend once say to me that he thinks that a lot of American performers, this friend was a Brit, he said he thinks a lot of American performers confuse cabaret with musical review. He was saying a musical review is just kind of a bunch of songs strung together with patter in between, but a cabaret needs a reason for existing. It needs to have a thematic arc, and it needs to end someplace different from where it begins. It needs to take audiences on a journey. So that's always been the bar that I try to clear with these kinds of shows, and hopefully this one does it.
Can you talk a little bit about designing and preparing this show? How do you go from an idea to a finished product?
Yeah, it's funny because I had a long weekend writing retreat with my musical director, Henry Kapersky, who plays the piano in this show. And I came into the writing retreat with a general arc for what I thought the show was going to be. And I had kind of sketched out the beats and the songs that I thought were going to be included in the stories. And over the course of this long weekend working, Henry and I basically collaboratively swapped out each and every beat and story and song with something different, something I think is better. And so it was a pure collaboration. And I think that if I had come into the writing process with a blank page, it would have been a little bit terrifying. But being able to come in with something that was a concept, maybe not fully fleshed out, maybe not very good, and then beat by beat, line by line, song by song, joke by joke, improve it, was such a kind of satisfying process of discovery. And then we did the show for the first time together over the summer in Provincetown, Massachusetts, in this lovely old little venue. And it felt appropriate because Provincetown has this long history of being a place for artists. And after we did the show there a couple of times, we figured out what was working and what wasn't. And we made some changes and swapped a few things in and swapped a few things out. And so now I'm really excited about this version of it that we're bringing to Wilmington on October 5th. And I hope people there love it.
There's a postcard in your office at NPR that's going to play a role in the show. I don't want to be the guy who asked you to spoil it, but can you talk a little bit about that postcard and what it says?
I'm looking at it right now, sitting on my shelf. The image is tulips in a vase, and the stamp is a dove of peace. And the postcard says, "Dear Ari, please butch up. I find a daily dose of your personality annoying. I'm a person too." I will tell the story in the show of how this postcard came into my possession, why it sits framed on a shelf, and how it fits more broadly into my love of hate mail, and even more broadly into the phrase, "Thank you for listening." But I'm going to save some of those details for the show itself. I don't want to spoil anything for the audience.
You've sung professionally in front of tens of thousands of people at the Hollywood Bowl and at other places. That's a huge crowd, but it kind of pales in comparison to what you do every day at NPR. How do the two experiences compare, performing in front of a live audience in person versus the sort of performative aspect of anchoring All Things Considered?
Radio is such an intimate medium. It doesn't matter whether hundreds or thousands or millions of people are listening. Fundamentally, at the end of the day, I am just talking to you. It's a very one-to-one conversation. And performing in a venue that has thousands of people in the audience, there's an electricity to everybody sharing an experience. So when the whole audience laughs, you feel everybody sharing that experience together. There are sometimes moments in my cabaret show where I feel like the silence is so profound that I know I could give a little twist and suddenly the mood will change. Or if what I'm saying is very kind of vulnerable and fraught and loaded, and then suddenly I drop a joke in the middle of it, it's like you can feel the tension release. That's something you don't get on the radio because you don't have everybody in the same room. But maybe counterintuitively, I find performing at a place like the Baby Grand more intimidating than performing at a place like the Hollywood Bowl. Because when there are 18,000 people in the audience, it just becomes kind of a faceless mass. And yes, everybody's having the same experience together, but it is so big and so far that it just becomes kind of a sea of humanity. And at a place as intimate as the Baby Grand, you really feel each other's presence in a very specific, individual, acute way. And it feels like we as individuals are all experiencing something together. Whereas the Hollywood Bowl is thrilling and epic and it's got this long, proud history, but it doesn't feel quite so much like we're all in on some kind of secret that we're sharing.
That's such a wonderful way to put that. Your day job at NPR is not exactly a 9 to 5, 40-hour-a-week kind of proposition. How do you make the time to keep your singing chops up when you're working crazy hours and also putting in the pretty intense emotional labor that journalism requires?
I once read that there is something scientifically documented about, and this is going to sound like it has nothing to do with your question, but I promise it does. At the end of a meal, when you feel very full and the waiter says, "Can I interest you in dessert?" and you say, "Oh, I'm totally stuffed, but yeah, I do have room for dessert." There is something about different appetites that is real. And so I find when I'm coming off an intense journalistic experience. Like this summer, I was at the DNC and I was hosting All Things Considered from Chicago. And then I flew to Los Angeles for those shows at the Hollywood Bowl. And the DNC was exhausting. And singing at the Hollywood Bowl is thrilling. But there's something about having those different appetites for those different kinds of self-expression where each one kind of fills the tank in a different way and uses a different enough set of muscles that I feel like one kind of primes me for the other and sets me up to be ready to do the other. So that when I'm on tour with Pink Martini or Allen or doing my solo cabaret show for a week, it may be exhausting, but when I come back to the newsroom, I feel energized and rejuvenated and ready to plunge back into the news in a way that I might not if I had just been laying on a beach for a week.
I think most of our listeners know you as the voice on All Things Considered, or previously as a White House correspondent for NPR, this authoritative voice that delivers the news, often not great news, to us. In Thank You for Listening, the audience is going to get to maybe know you on a more personal level, or in a different way at least. What do you hope your audience will come away knowing about you that they might not know right now?
Well, fundamentally, I am an optimist and I really believe in the best in people and humanity. And that is not despite the stories I've told as a journalist, it's because of the stories that I tell as a journalist. And so I hope that over the course of this show, people not only come to understand why I have a positive lookout on life and the world and people, but why they might consider looking at the world in a similarly positive, optimistic, hopeful way. I mean, I don't think that my optimism is naive. How could it be when every day I'm reporting on everything from climate change to wars to natural disasters? But I do think that my optimism is earned and grounded in reality. And that's something that I hope comes across in this show.
And finally, Ari, before we go, I want to wish you a happy early birthday. It's coming up at the end of the month, just a few days before you hit Wilmington.
That's right. September 30th, a Libra cusper. But well, as I say in the show, I have feelings about horoscopes, but it's one of my most favorite lines in the show. So I'm not going to deliver it right now. People will have to come to the Baby Grand in Wilmington on October 5th, and they can celebrate a belated birthday with me.
Thanks to the co-host of NPR's All Things Considered, Ari Shapiro, and R. Martin Matheny for joining us on the latest edition of Arts Playlist. Ari Shapiro's One Man Cabaret, thank you for listening, comes to the Baby Grand Saturday, October 5th at 8 p.m. And we wrap up the green next with Enlighten Me, where we learn more about why you should leave the leaves alone in your yard this fall. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.